Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Do you wish you knew the saints better? Overwhelmed with all the events in Catholic history and just wish you could tie it all together? It's tough work, and even scientists have determined that it takes approximately 400 repetitions to create a new synapse in the brain. Unless it is done with play, in which case it takes between 10 and 20 repetitions. Introducing Saint Cards, where the facts about saints and history are presented in fun and engaging games for ages 4 to 104. Check out Saint Cards at saintcards.com and begin the fun for your family, school, and parish today.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
What are you doing this Lent? The St. Paul Center is streaming their newest video Bible study for free starting Ash Wednesday. Based on Scott Hahn's renowned covenantal theology, this is a study no one should miss. Invite your friends, Catholic or not. Don't miss your chance to see this premium study for free. Go to stpaulcenter.com to sign up today.
Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.
Hi, everyone. This is Father Connolly.
And I'm Alexandra Sullivan.
And you're listening to Raising Saints, Helping Kids Hear God's Voice.
We're going to take your kids' questions on God, the faith, and the church, and see if we can answer them.
So that all of us, all together, can grow in our faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Almighty God, thank you for this season of Lent, which we've just begun, this journey into the desert with you. We know that like you, we might face temptation. We pray for the grace that also like you, we might reject evil. We might say no to the lies of the evil one and say a resounding yes to you. So by our devotion, by our sacrifices, by our penance this Lent, Lord, help us to grow closer to you through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hi, Father Connolly.
Happy Lent.
Happy Lent. Yeah, happy Lent? Yeah, is that the right thing to say?
My thoughts, exactly. I heard that the other day. Someone sort of casually said to me, okay, thanks, Father. Happy Lent. And walked away. And
not happy quite Lent. The right greeting.
Well,
right?
That's what you'd think, but I thought about it some more. I think we could say that,
mm-hmm.
right? Because what are we doing now during Lent? We're trying even more fiercely to grow closer to God.
Mm-hmm.
That's a happy thing.
That is a happy thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We realize that we're sinners. We realize that we need his help to choose him, to choose love, to be better Christians, better disciples of Jesus. You know, it is a joyful thing to do that. We know that there's enough sadness in the world. There's enough sorrow in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
He tells us in the gospel, right, when he says, don't go about, when you fast, don't go like the Pharisees, the hypocrites. Mm-hmm.
Wash your face.
Yeah, he tells us to wash our face, right?
Yeah.
Which is ironic because he told us that on Ash Wednesday when we're all going to church to get some dirt smeared on there.
Right.
But no, but
I think God has a sense of humor.
Oh, he must. He made me. So. Yeah, but you know, so it is a happy thing to enter into Lent. To say, yeah, you know what? I'm gonna fight for my relationship with God. It's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy, you know, giving up whatever it is we're giving up, or maybe we're adding something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, a funny story about that. So, you know, I was just ordained in May.
Yes.
So that means I was in the seminary for 4 years, St. Joseph Seminary in Yonkers.
Yes.
priest school, as it's lovingly preschool. Called by so many of our kids.
Preschool.
Preschool.
It kind of sounds, if you say it fast, preschool.
Oh, we have about the same maturity level. No.
So kidding.
My pastor in my home parish, not where I'm assigned here at St. Columba, but in where I grew up, St. Augustine's in Ossining. Wonderful priest who has been such a great friend to me and a mentor. He's taught me so much. I asked him one Lent when I was in the seminary. I said, Father, I'm really struggling. You know, what should I do for Lent? So let me tell you, my first Lent as a seminarian, and this was in college seminary. So this was about 6 years ago. I foolishly said to myself, oh, okay, here we go. It's Lent. I'm going to be a priest in 6 years, God willing. I gotta turn it up. I gotta really do something intense now. And I'm going to give up coffee.
Oh no. This is your story?
This is my story.
His story.
This is my story. This is a build up to.
Okay.
Friends, don't ever give up coffee for Lent.
Bad choice.
Oh, man.
Actually, I read something recently about moms giving up coffee and should not. Do it if it's going to really mess with your vocation of caring for your children, which I think it would.
I'm on cup number 3 for today, and it's about noon. So it's a light day. I was told by another priest, do not let your penance become a penance for others. I had become a little difficult to be around because I gave up cold turkey, just gave up coffee.
Oh, no.
And I became a little irritable, a little cranky, had some headaches. And I stuck with it. I truly did. Even to the point of after the Easter vigil at the seminary, I got a cup of that nasty, cafeteria coffee. And drank it. And it was terrible, but I loved it.
Yeah.
But I only stuck with it because I was stubborn. There was no spiritual growth there. And I'm not ashamed to admit that because we all have to grow, right? If we all start off as, Superman in the spiritual life, something's wrong there, then start the cause for canonization. But anyway, this having been the
prior experience,
right?
Yeah.
I said, Father McSweeney, what can I do? Every Lent, I really struggle with this. So what should I do that will be a good sacrifice, something fruitful spiritually, but that's not over the top or just arbitrary. Because very often I would get to Lent and I'd have a tough time deciding what to do. By the time I actually come up with something, it's
halfway over.
You know, it's Laetare Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Lent. And it's almost Easter. So what's going on? I said, Father, please, what can I do? And he said, oh, well, here's what we used to do. A few of us, we gather for morning prayer in the seminary. We all go 7 a.m., be in the chapel. We pray the liturgy of the hours. That's the prayers that a priest or a religious or any layperson who wants to. But we are obliged to do it and joyfully so. But we pray throughout the day to sanctify our day. So we gather for morning prayer at 7 o'clock in the chapel in the seminary. And he said, so what I did was I would tell myself, okay, I'm going to be the last one out of the chapel.
Okay.
Not just arbitrarily to stay longer than anyone else, but instead of running to that breakfast line, sort of sacrifice a few minutes of breakfast and give God a few minutes of prayer that I wouldn't otherwise give him.
Right. Seems rather easy.
Yeah.
Right.
So be the last one in the chapel. But what he then told me what happened, and I found it happening myself too, when I tried it myself, he said, apparently a few other guys also decided to do this practice.
Oh no.
So at first it's not so noticeable. a week or so in, you realize you're sort of staring each other down as your stomachs are rumbling, you know, I'm getting real hungry here. Who's going to break? Who's going to be the first one out? So, just a little vignette for you on Lenten penances. It's not easy, but then again, it's not supposed to be, right? But it can be joyful, and it should be joyful.
Sure.
We don't go about neglecting our appearance like the hypocrites, as the gospel tells us, but rather joyful, grateful to God for the opportunity to give something up or to give something to Him during this time.
You know, I want to throw this out there because this is something that I did not know well into my adulthood, is that Sundays are a day off from our penances.
Yes.
So for any kids out there who might be listening, and my kids enjoyed this yesterday, which was Sunday, I asked them, I suggested that maybe they should give up dessert for Lent.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And yesterday we had ice cream cake on Sunday. We celebrated a friend's birthday, but they were very excited that they could have their dessert. Yeah. So for any kids out there who gave up their chocolate or candy or video games.
Or even say, you know, any newly ordained priests in the Archdiocese of New York who happen to be on a podcast right now who might have also given that up.
You could have had something yesterday.
I'm trying not to, but I'm not going to say I won't, because that Sunday might come where I say, you know what?
Yeah.
Blessed be God. Grab that piece of cake or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Well, so what about you, Alexandra? What are you for Lent? Do you have any thoughts about past experience or this year?
Well, you know, in college, I gave up Coca-Cola for Lent. I wasn't drinking coffee in college, but I was addicted to soda.
Yeah.
So I did. I gave up soda, much like your coffee story. But I don't think I was quite as irritable as maybe you were. I don't know.
I sure hope not.
It was actually a really good practice for me. And I think it was the first time I actually hung through like the whole Lent with something I had committed to. Yeah. So this Lent's been a little bit more difficult for me. I didn't want it to be arbitrary.
Yeah.
So I haven't placed my finger on what it is I'd like to give up, but I have committed myself to certain times of prayer. So I'm trying to increase that more so.
That's great. So you see then the balance too that we can come to it. It's not just about giving something up. That's a great way to do it. That's a good way to do Lent, but we could also really do it really well when we're focusing on that prayer, giving that time to God. So I also found myself thinking about Netflix.
Oh, yes. You bring up Netflix a lot.
Yeah. Well, it's it's quite an invention.
It is.
You know, I remember back in my day when Netflix was a DVD that came into your mailbox after, you know, waiting a week.
I forgot about that, actually. Yeah.
Just the other day, I drove past the storefront that used to be the Blockbuster we would go to. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. I do, yeah.
That's so the old Netflix has gone the way of Blockbuster. It's gone. Mm-hmm. It's out.
Gone.
But it's one of those things. I bring it up a lot because it's the perfect example of something that objectively is a good, it can be a good thing. Mm-hmm. It's an easy, convenient way to, you know, find a show or a movie or some sort of recreation that, you know, just rest, you know. But it can very easily become something not good.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I've found that in my own life too, that, you know, because it's so easy to find a show or something and it's all on there, you can spend so much time.
Yeah.
Just,
you could binge watch episodes and seasons.
So how much time then is wasted and taken away from not just prayer, though certainly first and foremost time that could be spent praying, but
community.
Also, time with
being
others,
with the people around you.
Even if you're watching it with others, you're not really, you know, enjoying their company. You're just sort of there. Reading. Right? Reflecting, even just taking a little time to be quiet. So it's so easy to just kind of get lost in these fantasy worlds presented to us by something like Netflix. So I'll tell you an experience I just had, a fruitful experience of sort of, I decided part of my Lent would be not to give up entirely, you know, TV and movies and that sort of thing, but no more just Netflix binging, you know, because it just takes too much time.
Intentionality.
Yeah. And so, you know what I did? I watched a really good movie last night. And it sounds silly. You know, it sounds like a little thing, but it was a really well done piece of cinematic art. And I was edified by that.
There you go.
If you're wondering, it's a movie, it's an old movie called The Scarlet and the Black, starring Gregory Peck, who plays the Irish priest, Monsignor Hugh O'Flaherty. And it takes place in the Vatican when the Nazis are occupying Rome. And it's based on a true story.
What's the name of it again?
The Scarlet and the Black.
Okay.
So, if I had just been watching, you know, a bunch of episodes of a show I've already seen three times, I would have missed out on that. So it doesn't have to be extreme, but Lent can be penitential and joyful and edifying.
Great.
But we're speaking a lot about Lent because it's just started. And in fact, our first question is about the beginning of Lent. It's about Ash Wednesday.
Let me play that.
That'd be great.
Before we don't keep talking. Let's play the clip.
Hi, my name is Mary, and I'm from Massachusetts, and I have a question. Why did they put a cross made out of ash on your forehead, and when did it start to happen?
Okay, so her name was Mary.
Thanks, Mary.
Thank you, Mary. So why do we put a cross of ashes on our head?
Yeah. Great question. It does look a little peculiar, right? Especially then we're walking around. Alexandra, you can tell me, being a priest, we're sort of here in the parish all day. Mm-hmm. But do you get reactions when you leave the church then after you've received ashes? And I mean, do people sort of look puzzled or?
You know, not around here and around town. I mean, I think it's pretty commonplace, but 2 years ago, we were in Manhattan for Ash Wednesday. We had stayed over as a family. We'd done a little outing, and we went to St. Patrick's Cathedral for our ashes. And, you know, I was surprised because I thought everyone, including my kids, were going to feel a little embarrassed. But it was pretty surprising because everybody in the area was walking around with their ashes on. So actually, what I thought was going to make us feel out of place did not.
Oh, good.
But you do get looks because you still have them on. You know, we were doing touristy things afterwards and, you know, you get a little quizzical looks, but never anything. I've never had anything uncomfortable happen. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. Well, yeah, this practice of putting ashes on our forehead on Ash Wednesday, it might be a little odd in the view of the world, but that's kind of why we do it, right? We want to be witnesses maybe why it wasn't so shocking, right? Even in the city, was because people know on Ash Wednesday, that means those people are Christian.
Mm-hmm.
We know what it means.
And
you know, to answer this question, I want to call upon a video I just saw on YouTube by Father Mike Schmitz. He's just awesome. This priest is so wonderful. He explains things so well, and I'm so grateful for his ministry on social media and all that he does.
Do you have a Father Mike Schmitz impression?
I don't know.
No?
Maybe someday.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You might want to work on that.
To do those impressions.
Yeah. Father Connolly does excellent impressions. So I think we need to work on that one.
Yeah. Maybe another time.
Okay.
But Father Mike Schmitz had a great video for Ash Wednesday where he talked about this. And, you know, this goes back even to the Old Testament, this practice of, in times of sorrow, in times of grief, covering oneself with dirt and with ashes, the sign of an expression of that sorrow and grief and all that. And that's what we're experiencing. I know we talked a lot about how joyful we can be in Lent, but we're sorry, right? We experience sorrow. Mm-hmm. We're sorry for our sins.
Mm-hmm.
We know it's a time to repent. When the ashes are placed on your forehead, you hear either repent and believe in the gospel, or remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And so Father Mike Schmitz reminds us that, just like those ancient practices found in the Old Testament of covering oneself with dirt, with ashes, in a time of sorrow, we are sorrowful. We're sorry that we are sinners. We know we're sinners. We need to repent and believe in the gospel.
Right.
We need to remember that we're dust, and to dust we shall return. And so that's what the ashes call to mind.
But we put it in the shape of a cross.
We do.
Right. And that was the second point of his.
Yeah. He has this great quote in his video. He says, "The ashes say that I'm a sinner."
Mm-hmm.
"But the shape of the cross says that I have a savior."
Right.
"The ashes say I'm a sinner. The shape of the cross says that I have a savior." The whole point of this Lenten practice, the whole point of entering into the desert of Lent for 40 days, it's all about encountering Jesus, following Jesus, mm-hmm. who loves us so much that he would enter into the desert himself, be tempted himself, die for our sins himself, and ultimately rise to bring us with him into perfect communion with God in heaven one day. Certainly pray for that. We recall that we're sinners, but we also recall that we're beloved children of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we belong to God. We have a Savior who loves us more than we can possibly imagine. So, yes, it's an ancient practice of you know, dirtying up our face when we're sorry. But it doesn't stop there. Not for us, anyway. Like Father Mike said, the ashes say that I'm a sinner. The shape of the cross says I have a Savior. So that's Ash Wednesday. And then, we all go home and wash our faces.
Wash our face again.
Don't want to clog those pores too badly. You know?
Okay, Mary. Thank you very much for that question. And we're going to follow up with a question from, do you know who it's from?
I think I do.
Yeah. It's from my middle child, John. He had a question about why we do a particular thing in church. So let me play that and we'll go from there.
Hi, my name is John. I'm 6 years old and I'm from Hopewell Junction, New York. And why do they use the incense and when do they use the incense?
Father Connolly, I don't know the answer to this.
Ooh,
I'm looking forward to finding out, actually.
Yeah. All right. As I sit here drinking my coffee from a cup that says
I heart incense.
Oh, boy. People know their priests very well. John, thanks, buddy. That's a great question. Why do we use incense and when? So how about the why first, huh? We offer to God our prayers in that smoke that comes out of, it's called the thurible, right? Something mm-hmm. The little bowl-looking thing that the incense is in. So we put a hot coal in there and it gets all gray, and that's when you know you're ready for it. Mm-hmm. I'm preparing you for your first time as an altar boy, John. And you then throw some incense on top of that and whoosh, start smoking, right?
Yeah.
So, and then that's when you get some parishioners start to cough.
But
Trust me, everyone's going to be okay.
Yeah.
If I can have it pluming into my own face and not cough, you know, we're all going to be okay. I promise. But, the smoke ascending, rising up heavenward represents our prayers, that we unite our prayers with that smoke. We offer them up to God who is in heaven. And we also pray that, like the incense that we use smells so good, we pray that our prayers may be, a sweet-smelling aroma to God, that he might love to hear our prayers, that he might delight in our prayers and rejoice to receive our prayers, just as we delight in that aroma of the incense at Mass. When do we use it?
Yeah.
We use it I'm going to tell you when we can use it, okay? Because we don't have to use it at all these times.
Mm-hmm.
And many times you won't see it at all.
Right.
But sometimes you'll see it and maybe certain parts. Anyway, it can be used from the very beginning in the procession into the church, right? So when the servers are coming in with cross and candles, there can be another altar server carrying incense right in front of the cross, leading that procession. Then we can use it when You ever notice how the priest and the deacon, they kiss the altar?
Yes.
So right after kissing the altar, which, by the way, the altar itself represents Christ himself. Mm-hmm. So that's why we reverence the altar during Mass. We also, if we pass by the tabernacle during mm-hmm. Mass, we'll bow to the altar.
Yeah, I have noticed that, and I've always wondered that.
Yeah, so yeah. The altar is upon which we're offering this sacrifice here and now. We focus our attention there. After we kiss the altar, we can incense mm-hmm. the altar, right? Here I'm using the word as a verb as well.
Can
right?
you do so, that?
Yeah.
Incense it, yeah.
So we joked in the seminary that our professor of liturgy, he would say, so at this point, as deacons, you will incense the priest, but please don't incense the priest. Anyway, a little double meaning there. Nerd alert.
Yes, that's okay. John, that means don't make the person angry.
Right. We also
you can use the word incense.
So don't incense your mother. All right, John, you don't want to
frustrate and make her angry. That's what he's saying. It has two meanings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we can incense the altar. We swing the thurible around the altar, as well as then at the offertory time, we do the same thing. So after the gifts of bread and wine have been brought up, and after, before the priest washes his hands and says, wash me, Lord, my iniquity and cleanse me from my sins. Mm-hmm. Before that, you can incense the altar again. Mm-hmm. And then the priest can hand the incense to the deacon who will
incense you, right?
Who will incense me. And then even the people. Sometimes you see them come around and then everyone stands up and you bow to each other and he swings that incense. And all about our prayers rising up to God, right? And gathering our prayers together and reverencing, respecting, and cherishing each other and God. And one final time as well, when we're celebrating a funeral, mm-hmm. All the same as any other Mass, but at the end, the final commendation, when we're sending our beloved deceased home, at the end of the Mass, we go and we incense that person's body. We go around the casket and again, a way of offering that person's soul to God. So that's a little bit about why and when we use incense.
But we don't really see it that often. So is there
right.
is there generally some holy days or certain days where you would always use it?
Yeah. So you might hear about this liturgical theory or practice, if you will, of progressive solemnity. Mm-hmm. So that's when we recognize that certain days are more solemn, a little more not holier. Every single Mass is an absolute miracle and just the most awesome, incredible thing that anyone can do in this life. And that goes from in the little mission village chapel in the Caribbean to the papal Mass in St. Peter's, mm-hmm. In Rome. That, but nonetheless, there's an order to the way in which we celebrate. So a regular Tuesday morning, parish Mass, we're not going to break out all of the trappings the way we would for, say, a Sunday or a feast day. Mm-hmm. So generally, we wouldn't experience something like incense at a regular old daily Mass, or even sometimes priests won't use it on a Sunday. But it would be more appropriate for us to do that mm-hmm. on a Sunday or on a feast day that doesn't fall on a Sunday.
Okay.
To recognize the greater solemnity of that day.
Okay. All right, buddy. I hope that answers your question. We really appreciated both questions today. Mm-hmm. We're hoping for lots more questions.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking about something and you want our feedback, send us an email, or rather record a voice memo, and you can use that on your phone. stumbling over my words right now. On your phone, on a laptop, do a voice recording and email us at raisingsaintspodcast@gmail.com. And we have had a couple of write-in questions, so feel free to email us a write-in question if you're a little too shy to record it. But we would love to hear your voice and actually hear the question from you. So let us know what you're thinking.
Yeah. Thanks again for these great questions. And like Alexandra said, we look forward to more. And both of us wish you a very blessed Lenten season.
Happy Lent.
Yeah. Happy Lent,
Happy Lent,
everyone. God bless you.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.